Welcome to the May 1st dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service today was led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Gretchen Luke. We begin our month-long exploration of nurturing beauty by considering ways we can cultivate inner beauty and growth.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Gretchen Luke, and today I'm pleased to be the Weaving Worshipper with Rev Pam. If you're here for the first time, we are glad that you found us. You'll find a link in our virtual visitors card in the chat, or the paper card in the back of the sanctuary. Fill it out if you'd like to be kept in touch with. If you have a joy or a sorrow and wish to be shared aloud, we'll find a link in the chat or cards that are available near the entrance to the sanctuary, and we'll collect those during the opening hymns. If you need assistance hearing the service in the sanctuary, there's actually two over there, working assistant listening devices. Those of you with hearing aids can also connect to the induction loop receiver. Those of you online can adjust how you see the subtitles by clicking on the box marked CC. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. You can look at the calendar on our website for times, location, Zoom links, and contact information if needed. Thanks to all the volunteers this morning and throughout the week who make all of these opportunities and activities possible.
Good morning. I want to welcome those of you who are with us on Zoom and let you know we have more faces in here than I've seen in a long time. We get to celebrate today. I want to lift up a couple of announcements, but beforehand, if you are new to Zoom, there's a little camera icon I'm going to ask you to turn on in a few minutes when we greet each other. And also, if you could keep your sound on mute until the end when you can join a breakout room. And if you're in the sanctuary, if you could put your phones in worship mode so we're not disturbed, that would be great. After the service today, we are having a special celebration to celebrate the formal end of our stewardship pledge drive by cultivating, nurturing, and celebrating our community. So if you are joining us from home, but you are in Blacksburg or Christiansburg, if you can get in your car after the service and zoom on over here, we're gonna have fruit salad and hummus and carrots and pita chips and cookies and lemonade. Oh, bagels and cream cheese and deviled eggs. So if you have time to come and join us, if the weather holds, we're going to do it outside, so we'll be safer outside than in. Just come have a bite to eat and enjoy conversation so that we can celebrate our community. Also, next week, we are going to have our first child dedication in over 2 years. So if you have children in your family who you'd like to have dedicated, or if you don't know what that means and you want to have a conversation with me, give me a call. Also, on the 15th of May, we'll be having a new member recognition ceremony. So if you feel like this is your spiritual home and you want to join formally, please contact me. And you can do it online too. If you're a Zoom attendee, you don't have to be here to join. And I'd like to call up Sarah Catlett, part of our LFD team, to tell us what the children are doing today.
Today, pre-K will be reading City Green and making seed bombs. I believe the weather is going to hold out to where they will be making this outside, since they can be quite messy. K2 will also be making the seed bombs, and they'll be reading the book Miss Rumphius and talking about the world and making it even more beautiful. 3-5 will be talking about people sometimes comparing themselves to others based on how much money they make or their jobs. They'll be looking at different clothing and packaged food items to see where they were made and talk about all the people who work to bring us everyday items that they depend on. And middle school will be watching and discussing the Simpsons episode, Coming to Homerica, which deals with the issues of immigration and border control. Thank you.
And I want to have an opportunity to say hello and congratulations and welcome to our new Director of Lifespan Faith Development, who will be starting in July, Rachel Crane. I realized that announcing that she was that we were calling her to be our religious educator on a day she wasn't here wasn't quite fair to any of us, so I'm so excited. I also need to call up Jim Flowers for our last auction announcement. Jim?
What are you doing Saturday night? See this list? It's really long. It has 58 items on it. I've heard a couple more have just come in this morning. That's how many things we've got to bid on Saturday night at our first annual re-auction extravaganza, or whatever you want to call it. First one in 2.5 years live. And we've got a bunch of people already signed up. If you're not signed up, you don't have to sign up to come. You can sign up that night, but it helps us because we can get the little paddle numbers ready for you before you get here. And when you sign up, if you will put in a payment method, you can just walk out the door at the end of the auction and we'll bill you for any number of things. Now, you don't have to buy anything if you come to the auction. It's a party, it's community, and everything for sale here has to do with getting people together, not with getting people to have some stuff in their hands. Even if it's a single item that's delivered face-to-face like a cake, the idea is community's back and we wanna do it real big. So Saturday night, 5 o'clock here from 5 to 8, you can have a blast or just sit in a corner and do nothing. It's up to you, but we'd like to have you here and enjoying the energy. Those doors will be open. Oh, by the way, food, did I mention food? Please bring something to share, a savory or a sweet. It's not one of those things where we have a committee that's brought in 400 pounds of stuff, where it's community. So it doesn't have to be a whole pile of stuff, but bring whatever you feel comfortable with. We're all going to share. There will be beverages provided, both nice ones and adult ones. Oh, those are the nice ones, aren't they? Anyway, Saturday night, 5 to 8, first time in a long time. It's going to be a blast, there's no good reason not to be here because it's a nothing weekend, you know? May Day.
Thanks for saying May Day. I also want to remind you that we're having a Beltane celebration, I guess weather permitting, up on the Labyrinth this afternoon. There'll be a children's ritual and then adult. Yes? Yes. Got changed till tomorrow, so you get to do May 2nd, Beltane. Thank you. I'm glad I said something. The Labyrinth is beautiful, so come if you can. Now it's time to greet our neighbors. So those of you at home, if you will turn your videos on, we're going to put your faces up on the screen so that we can see who is here. And if you put in the chat where you are worshiping from, I will read that out loud. And it says, we have from St. Martin, Jim and Sally Bolden. Oh, from St. Martin. Whoa, cool. Stephen's here from Salt Lake City. I think Brenda's here from Italy. Stephanie's here from the UUC Gardens. We've got folks from Galax, from Radford, from Pulaski, from Italy, from Radford, from Warm Hearth Village, from Blacksburg, from Ruskin, Florida. Nice to have you with us, Bruce. We've got people from all over. All right, now it's time. Oh, and Blacksburg, we got some more from Blacksburg. Now it's time to look at who's here in the sanctuary. So I'll try not to make you too seasick. Look at how full the sanctuary is this morning. And for those of you who are seated next to folks and feeling too close, you'll notice there are some empty seats up front. So during the opening hymn, I welcome you to distribute yourselves to more seats. There's always room in the front. It's like in lecture halls. Nobody wants to sit up front. It is so good to be together on this day of celebration on May Day.
Please join us in reading the words on the screen as we light the chalice. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. And our opening words today are nurturing beauty. They were written by Reverend Suzelle Lynch. Our community is full of with beauty. When you open the drawer to greet me, that's where the beauty begins. When you share with me what's important to you, beauty is there as I listen. When you join hands to practice compassion, beauty's hearts open like a flower. When we teach or learn or work for justice, beauty abounding sparks joy in all. We gather today for beauty, the beauty we seek, the beauty we share, the beauty we nurture together. And please join us in reading words from our covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spirituality community based on a reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives with
this month we are nurturing beauty. That's what we're considering in each of our worship services in our small group ministries. And I'd like to share one of the spiritual exercises that people will be practicing. It's from the small group ministry packet. It's called The Beautiful Thing That You Carry. The philosopher Blaise Pascal wrote, "In difficult times, carry something beautiful in your heart." These are indeed difficult times. They require courage, commitment, hope, and self-love. And all of these are sustained by beauty. We find the courage to fight after falling in love with a beautiful vision to fight for. We maintain our commitment only by finding the beauty that nourishes us. We hold on to hope because experiences of beauty remind us that something in the universe is on our side. We withstand dehumanization when rooted deeply in the beauty of our own dignity. It's one of the most important secrets to successful social change and social survival. When we carry beauty, it carries us. So, this month, literally find something to carry with you for weeks on end. A pebble, a poem, a torn piece of paper with a quote on it. You'll likely carry it in your pocket, but maybe it will be in a necklace or a wallet instead. The goal is to find a reminder about beauty that will carry you through as you carry it. So I invite you, in this moment, what piece of beauty can you carry with you in your heart. Next week, I'll ask you what it was. So we are still short $34,678, although I think we just got a $50 pledge last night. So if you can help us reach our goal by either making a new pledge or increasing your pledge, then we'll be all set. But it doesn't really matter, because this year's stewardship pledge campaign has been like no other. We've had all kinds of wonderful activities, hikes and gatherings. And today we're gonna have a gathering outside with healthy but delicious food. And I just want the stewardship committee to please rise so that we can recognize and thank you. Sorry, stay standing. Lucas was trying to get me to show who was on the committee, so here we go. We need to have better communication. Thank you. These tech people are ahead of me on the game. All right. Let's talk about another way that we can support our community.
I have to say, I have my little piece already. I collect little hearts when I'm out in nature, and I already have mine picked out, so I was gonna share. Look forward to hearing about y'all's little piece of beauty you carry with you. Let us celebrate our ability to contribute to our community by collecting an offering. It is a practice of the congregation to share half of the offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is RAISE, Roanoke Area Interfaith Stewards of the Earth, a chapter of Virginia Interfaith Power and Light. The RAISE mission is to help local congregation embrace their principles by acting for environmental justice through speaker engagements, a monthly newsletter, an ongoing book club, witness events, and legislative advocacy, and much more. Please give online using the link in the chat or through the many ways listed on the screen. You'll be able to give after the service as well. For those of you in the sanctuary and would like to give cash or check, there is a basket in the back of the sanctuary. Thank you for your generosity. That's back there. We will collect our offering. While we're doing that, we'll enjoy Jared playing Girl with the Flaxen Hair by Debussy, during which you're invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. For those online, you may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offering. Thanks. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that giving and receiving, we participate in the circle of care with no beginning and no end.
I invite you now into the mood of meditation. To take a breath. Settle in your seat, soften your shoulders, soften your gaze, maybe close your eyes. This morning I'm sharing Gardening Prayer, written by Reverend Bob Janis Dillon, a Unitarian minister in England. He begins with these words from the poet Mae Sarton. Help us to be the always hopeful gardeners of the Spirit, who know that without darkness, nothing comes to birth, as without light, nothing flowers. O Spirit of soil and sunlight, endless energy of growth, cycle of life and death and rebirth, God of small things and great, Help us to be the always hopeful gardeners of the Spirit. Help us to prune back our worst impulses, the parts of ourselves that can lead to needless hurt in others. Help us to trim back our greed, root out our apathy. If we find we are overshadowing anyone else's growth by our own selfish desires, help us to lessen ourselves and make room for others. And help us to grow all the good things of our lives. God, we see around us many examples of abundant beauty. We do not know if we could create such beauty on our own, but we don't need to. No, we partner with you, with the wind and the rain and the soil and sunlight to bring beauty forth. So we are encouraged that we might participate in grace, that we might dig a little trench where the seeds of kindness may be planted. We know there is a time of waiting in all things when we rest in darkness. Sometimes that time of waiting can be days or weeks or even years. Help us to see the darkness's role in germinating new wonder into the world. Help us to see the small sprigs of joy and meaning that are struggling to rise from the ground. Let us be gardeners of the Spirit. Let us tend to this little gentle power that has helped us become who we are and nourishes us always, even unto the end. In our daily acts, we strive to serve the growth of life and of goodness and of love. We are proud to serve and delighted to see the natural magnificence that is our portion and our inheritance, the growth of all the good and beautiful things of this life. Amen, and blessed be.
This morning reading comes from Reverend Rob Hardies, former minister of All Souls Unitarian in Washington, D.C. Unitarian Universalism's third principle, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregation, sets before us a vision of our congregation as committees where spacious souls can flourish and grow. We grow souls on Sunday mornings when a sermon challenges and expands our thinking, or when music makes our spirits soar. We grow souls throughout the week in religious education classes for all ages as we learn to discover the movement of the Spirit in our lives. We grow souls when amidst the clamor of war, we struggle to find paths of peace. We grow souls in our connection and conversation groups, learning together and caring for one another, recognizing in other stories our own experience. We grow souls when we encourage with one another in congressional self-governance, learning through conflict, and feeling the power of a shared vision coming into reality. The purpose of church is to provide spiritual sustenance for world engagements. Now, more than ever, the world needs our congregations to be incubators of a generous, loving, and justice-seeking spirituality.
What better place to incubate our souls, to nurture our spirituality than UUC? This month we'll be exploring the theme Nurturing Beauty, and today we're starting from the inside out, as it were. Part of our mission statement says that we aim to inspire spiritual and ethical growth. What does that mean? I had a conversation with someone this week who said he never really thought about his spiritual growth, his spiritual journey, until he came here to UUC, until someone asked him to think about it. So I invite you now to think about your spiritual journey. Where did you come from? And how did you get here? What are your religious roots? Some of us were raised in religious communities, churches, synagogues, mosques, societies, fellowships, sanghas, where we learned about stories from Holy Scripture in Sunday school or Hebrew school or catechism classes. Always jealous of my Catholic friends. They got to go to catechism. It sounded really exotic to me. Where we may have gone through rituals like baptism, first communion, confirmation, bar or bat mitzvahs. Some of us reserved all things spiritual or religious to a house of worship while others of us practice religion at home with blessings before meals and nighttime prayers. How many of you said blessings at mealtime? How many said goodnight prayers? Now I lay me down to sleep. That one always, I wondered about that one. If I die before I wake, mean. But some of us were raised not in a religious tradition, but never really were connected to a religious community. I think about the people who never attend services except on Christmas or Easter. Some people may have trimmed a Christmas tree, hunted for Easter eggs, and never even thought about Jesus. They were culturally Christian or whatever religious upbringing. And still others were raised in homes that were strictly atheist. You can see some nods that actively rejected religious teachings and traditions. And some of us were raised Unitarian Universalist. And now we're all here together. With the exception of some of the cradle Unitarian Universalists, most of us have left something behind that no longer serves us. Some of us no longer believed what we were taught as children. Some of us rejected the theology or the practices or both. Some of us realized that we needed something different or something more. We wanted to belong to a compassionate community. We wanted spiritual and ethical growth. What did you want? What did you need? What have you found? Has being here set you off on a completely new direction in your spiritual journey? Has it helped you go further along the path that you were already on? Or has it helped you realize that you want to double back and reclaim part of your spiritual heritage that you left behind but missed and want to reclaim? I've heard people say that being Unitarian Universalist helps them to be a better Hindu, or Christian, or Jew, or Muslim, or Buddhist, or atheist. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, have you found what nurtures your soul? It might be hard to describe those experiences we have that nurture our spirituality, but we know it when we feel it, right? I remember an experience I had several years ago. A blissful day spent with friends at their country home in the summer in Dyke, Virginia. We wandered around their farm. We fed apples to the horses and we could feel their lips nuzzling our fingers. We swam in the pond and little fishes kissed our toes. We cooked and ate wholesome, delicious food together. The sky went through the most brilliant colors at sunset. And as the night grew darker, one of my friends shared his experiences as a soldier in Vietnam in hushed tones. It was a magical day. And as I drove home that night, I kept wondering how it was that I could be in that place with those people, doing those things. I was filled with awe and amazement. I felt connected in ways that I hadn't before, to the land, to people, to the animals, to the sky. That was a spiritually nourishing day. It helped grow my soul. So think about those experiences you've had when you knew, not just with your mind, but with your heart and your soul, that you were part of something greater than yourself, that you were connected. Some find it in music and art, or dance and movement. Some find it alone, others find it with others. Some find it in the natural world or in human created spaces. Whatever it is, you know in your bones, it helps to grow your soul. Now I realize that some here might find the notion of soul an off-ramp, too connected to more, yes, to more orthodox religious traditions that we've left behind. It doesn't fit with our theology. I keep hearing Isabel's voice in my head. I don't have a soul. As Wayne Arneson writes, the soul is a messy thing for Unitarian Universalists. We are burdened by whatever childhood definitions or images of soul we have had imposed upon us or picked up by osmosis. But Rob Hardies, in the article from which our reading comes, talks about a new way of understanding spiritual growth that he came to from reading the process theologian Bernard Loomer. He writes, "Before Loomer, I used to think of spiritual growth as a process of growing closer to God in a vertical kind of way. I took the image from Jack and the Beanstalk. We're here on the earth, God is up in heaven, and spiritual growth means growing like that beanstalk, higher and higher, ever closer to God. But in that model, we end up with our head in the clouds." He goes on, "Loomer showed me that spiritual growth isn't about a vertical ascent to heaven, but about growth in every dimension at once. It's spirituality in 3D. Growth in spirit doesn't measure one's proximity to a God above, but rather the spaciousness of one's own soul, its volume, its capacity, its size. We need to grow souls that can encounter the other as a unique subject, not an object. In the words of Martin Buber, a thou, not an it. We need souls that can take in the world in all its complexity and diversity, yet still maintain our integrity. And we need souls that can love and be in relationship with all of this complexity." Do your experiences, those times when you felt somehow changed in an especially important way, fit with that sense of spiritual growth? Did any of those experiences happen here at UUC? Hardies asserts that growing souls is one of the most important missions of a UU congregation, and he lists the different ways we do it, through hearing sermons and songs. participating in lifespan faith development, in connection and conversation groups, learning and caring for each other, and even serving on the board. Because inspiring spiritual and ethical growth is part of our mission, we're kicking off a new program at UUC that is designed to do just that, to help you find activities and roles that will help you grow your soul. It's called Growth Through Service. And it uses a model that was created by the UU Church of Delaware County in Media, Pennsylvania, that has been transformational for them and a lot of other congregations around the country. The process starts with a conversation with one of the GTS team. And we can put the picture up and people at home can see them. Here is the Growth Through Service team. You will see Earl Irwin, Jamie McReynolds, Sarah Dalton, Steve Caton, George Lally, and Jane Mahone. Those are some nice, friendly faces, aren't they? We can go ahead and come off that slide. They've been hard at work practicing having these conversations with each other and members of the board. Now they're ready to start having conversations with all of you. By exploring aspects of spirituality that are important to you and your spiritual journeys so far, these conversations are designed to help you find meaningful ways to connect and serve, to help you move forward on your journey. Service opportunities that match your interests, your skills, and your time. Brian Mayer has been in charge of creating an open service opportunities list that will soon be up on our website, which, along with the recommendations from the Growth Through Service team, will make it easier for people to find ways to feed their soul at UUC. I'm really grateful for all of the preparation that has gone into this program, especially to Steve Caton. I know you and Brian have been really working hard on this, and Nancy Bodenhorn as well. And I'm really excited to see where it takes us as a congregation. When I look back at my own spiritual journey as a Unitarian Universalist, I can point to each of the experiences that helped me move forward on my journey. From being a youth advisor, a committee member, a worship associate like Gretchen, and yes, serving on the board at the church in Charlottesville. And each of those experiences helped me grow my soul and led me to ministry and eventually here to this place. Did you know that it was 5 years ago this month that I stood up here and you called me? You know, when you look back, you just go, oh my gosh, who knew what would happen in those 5 years? And here we are all together, surviving a pandemic. Oh my God. But we did it together. So I am grateful for all those ways that my UU congregation helped grow my soul. They deepened my connections. They widened my world. They made me come alive. In the weeks and months ahead, I invite you to participate in a conversation with one of these fine people. Those who have participated already have found these conversations enriching. As we move forward, I'm hopeful that the Growth Through Service program will help us to grow the kind of spacious souls that our world sorely needs. I'm hopeful that it will help us live into one of my favorite quotes from the theologian Howard Thurman. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Oh. I invite you in the week ahead to make an effort to find something beautiful to carry in your heart or in your pocket, and to consider what makes you feel alive. And go do it. The world needs you to be alive and shining your light. We extinguish this chalice, but not the fire of commitment. This will take with us out into the world until we are together again.